20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember, you can always subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And of course, you can always check us out over at cheeseheadtv.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I am here with my co-host, Andrew Mertig. It is good to be back for another Friday edition of the podcast.
Yeah, definitely great to be back, Kyle. Listeners are stuck with just you and myself after Maggie returned to her normal show on Thursdays. And, you know, that's great. We really appreciate having Maggie around. We really appreciate having Maggie around for draft season. That's awesome, and we love interacting with her, and she certainly brings a lot of attention to the show that we don't as just normal people. You know, we're not celebrities like Maggie, but I am looking forward to diving into sort of the doldrums of the offseason, except, hey, there's this one really big story with a certain quarterback on the team. So we will get into that. But if I can hijack the show for a moment, and you know I'm not going to ask your permission anyways.
You always do, so yeah.
Yeah. If you're a regular listener and you haven't taken the time to leave us a review on whatever podcasting platform you use, I would just ask if you could please take a moment to do that. And please, you know, consider at least giving us a five-star review. The reason I say this, you know, I don't like the self-promotion part of it, but I just realized today there's a podcast I've been listening to for a few months now, and I never bothered to leave a rating. And it's sort of obnoxious, right? Like, we're hosting a podcast and I'm asking people to do this and I didn't even do it myself. And so I just thought, you know, there's probably some people out there who haven't thought to give us a review yet, and or maybe just, you know, haven't gotten around to it. And so if you could take the time, we would really appreciate it. It helps us make sure that we get the best sound quality, you know, that we're able to get a partnership with like Blue Wire Podcasts like we have now, that we're able to bring on the best guests that we can. So we just really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Oh, and one more thing, Kyle.
One more thing.
Sorry.
Okay. Go for it.
This is a laundry list of things. But so I know the Thursday show was all about the schedule release. But just so we don't get too far away from that, were there any thoughts that you had about the Packers schedule for 2021?
Yeah, super fun to see that schedule coming together, all the pieces, you know, fitting together throughout the day. And then we finally get the full drop later in the evening. But, you know, that week 13 bye was probably the one thing that stuck out to me the most, just because obviously they're playing that one extra game. Feels like the season's just stretching on. And then, you know, we've had a few years, it feels like, I'd have to check this, but it feels like we've had several years where we've had a fifth, or a week five bye or a week six bye. And now with a week 13, it just is so late in the season. It's really, you've seen a couple players say, we don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing because we haven't played this long of a season before. The other thing that stuck out to me was just that slate of games at the beginning of the season. The Saints, week one, with a really unstable quarterback situation, not knowing exactly how they're going to do that. And then the Lions in a rebuild, week two. And then the 49ers, are we going to see Trey Lance in that third week of the season, or are they still going to be leaning on Jimmy G at that point? So a really interesting start to the season. I think one that favors the Packers. If they played those games a little bit later in the season, I think there could be a little bit more chemistry in all of those scenarios. So I do like that beginning of the schedule for the Packers. What about you? What did you see in that schedule?
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I especially like that late bye. I think that's usually to a team's advantage to be able to rest and recuperate at that point in the season. I think the one thing that really stood out to me is the Christmas Day matchup with the Cleveland Browns. They, you know, you have a team you only see every 4 years. They're coming off a really strong season. I thought they had a fantastic offseason, and I think that matchup's just going to be really, really fun.
Hey, it is going to be really fun, and that's a game that basically necessitates snow, doesn't it? Like, you have to have snow on Christmas Day with the Green Bay Packers. It just feels like a perfect match with the Cleveland Browns for sure. Are we ready to jump into the rest of this madness that we're going to get into today?
Let's do it.
Okay, so, of course, the last several weeks have been all about Aaron Rodgers. If you haven't heard, crawl out from underneath your rock because everybody's talking about it. The national sports media is saturated with this drama and all the bits and pieces of the reported tension between Green Bay Packers and your MVP quarterback. The reality is we don't know what exactly is happening. We don't have all of the facts, and we certainly don't know where this is headed in the coming weeks. But today, Andrew and I wanted to join in on the speculation and what we hope is a helpful and interesting way to do this, because there is certainly a chance that this situation doesn't resolve in a way that has Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay this fall. We may not want to entertain that thought, but the reality is that it has a chance of being our reality. But Andrew, I'm going to let you entertain this a little bit more, reveal the monstrosity of the show that is ahead of us here, and give us a quick recap of why we feel like this is worth our time.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing people saw the description of the show and then either, like, in a fit of anger, immediately deleted the episode, or you're listening because you're actually interested in this topic, or maybe you're just hate listening. I don't know, but you can blame me for the topic that we're tackling today. For sure, it was my idea, and I had to drag Kyle through trying to get this, show off the ropes. So, first of all, let me premise this by saying this by saying we do not want Aaron Rodgers traded. But there were some interesting landing spots brought up by Andy Herman on the YouTube version of the Pack a Day podcast last week. And that inspired me to think, how would we view these trades, right? Because there were some of them I really liked, some maybe not so much, and maybe come up with a couple of our own. So, but first, right, we have to go through what the Twitterverse is saying. And here's some nuggets from the media this week. You have Mike Garofalo, and this is actually a little bit older now, but on NFL Now, on the NFL Network, he reported that on Bob McGinn said on the Krause report, that Aaron Rodgers was warning the Packers' prospective free agents for quite some time. He wasn't expecting to be back in Green Bay in 2021. I don't understand this one at all, because obviously the Packers re-signed Aaron Jones and David Bakhtiari. So, okay, we'll go with it. James Palmer on NFL Network said that the Broncos feel they have a real shot at Aaron Rodgers and are preparing compensation packages in the case that Rodgers is made available. They feel like they're the destination to be. Ian Rappaport, our friend, said the Packers and Aaron Rodgers have a complicated relationship and it could go in any direction right now. So I don't know, it depends how you feel about Ian Rappaport, but is that walking it back a little bit? Is he just getting more information now than he had before? Any direction sounds a little bit more optimistic than, the divorce is imminent.
And it really does feel like just about everybody in the sports media market is trying to attach themselves to this story in some meaningful way. And that's not, that doesn't mean that everyone doing so is doing so, let's say, irresponsibly or maliciously, but everybody's attached to the story. Everybody has something to add to it, and it's been really interesting. I definitely think it's worth noting that AJ Hawk, James Jones, John Kuhn, and others have had less alarming things to say about the Rodgers situation. Some of them have gone as far as to predict that Rodgers will be back in Green Bay this fall. However, I do think it's especially worth noting that none of them downplayed the situation. They all acknowledge that there is a conflict, there is a tension between the Packers and Rodgers. It's a very real situation, and in the next 3 weeks, it's going to be really interesting, because if the Packers do trade Rodgers, it's likely going to come after June 1st. That's when his contract is much more tradable. And then it will be interesting to see how crazy that trade market gets if it becomes known that the Packers do feel forced to trade him at this time, and he does become a legitimately available player that much of the league would be obviously then very interested in. So we're going to go ahead and do this. Like we said, this is kind of like pulling teeth. We don't want to entertain the idea that Aaron Rodgers is no longer a Packer, but it may be a reality, so let's do this. Let's talk about what happens if Green Bay is not where Aaron Rodgers is playing in 2021.
All right. For the second time, and right after you just said it,
we're going to say it again.
We do not want Aaron Rodgers traded. Okay? Are we good?
All right.
Are we good? How many Twitter mentions am I going to get about this show? So many. Okay. This is simply an exercise to see what his value would be, potentially. I promise discussing this is not going to have any actual impact on him getting traded or not, right? Like, we won't jinx anything. It'll all be all right. This is what Andy Herman had to say on the May 7th YouTube Pack-A-Day podcast. First of all, he prefaced this with a lot of different, context around it, right? Matt Stafford got 2 firsts, a third, and Jared Goff. So, like, you set that as the floor, right? And then you look even further, Trey Lance, the 49ers gave up 3 first-round picks and a third-round pick to get him. So, like, okay, that's the new floor because, you know, you're not getting less for Aaron Rodgers than you get for Trey Lance or Matt Stafford. So, the Packers can clear about $16 million in cap space if they trade him post June 1st. So that's the maximum for bringing back veterans, right? Unless there's another coinciding move that we're not anticipating. You can't just bring back all the contracts you want, right? Like, I know people throw around names just because they're names like Von Miller, but like it ain't happening. So the first trade that he brought up was with the Carolina Panthers, and that's quarterback Sam Darnold, linebacker Jeremy Chin, 3 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks. And I think that premium is a little bit higher because they're an NFC team.
Yeah, so Carolina is super interesting, right? Because before the Sam Darnold trade, it seemed like they were a very natural landing place for Rodgers in 2022, right? Next year. Dave Tepper, the owner there, is known for his aggressive vision for the team. He wants things changed. He wants things his way. And so they've just kind of flipped the whole organization there. And so maybe the Darnold thing doesn't take them out of this running because obviously Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. And if the Packers were able to get a Darnold involved in this trade, maybe you play Sam Darnold for a year and then flip him for a second or a third round pick to add to that haul of first-round picks that you've already received. And then, obviously, Jeremy Chin would be great for the Packers to add to that defense. And you've got to believe that Joe Brady would do some incredible things there in Carolina if he were to get his hands on Aaron Rodgers. And you find yourself as a lock then for a head coaching gig if you're Joe Brady with those Panthers probably putting all this together. But I really do think the Panthers have to be seen as a dark horse in this because of what they've done at the quarterback position. But, man, it's really fun as a match if they were able to make it all work.
Yeah, so the next trade that Andy mentioned was with the Washington football team. And there you get defensive lineman Daron Payne, offensive tackle Sam Cosmi, 3 first-rounders. So this was a fun little caveat that Andy put on here. Whatever draft compensation will be required to get the Jaguars to give you Gardner Minshew. So it's sort of a little bit of a three-way trade there. But if the Jags are saying, we need a 4th-round pick for Gardner Minshew, then the Washington football team would have to give you that 4th-round pick as well.
Okay, so I really like this option. I know we talk a lot about Denver, and the Raiders get in the mix quite a bit, right, as an option. But I really like Washington as another dark horse, maybe not as much of a dark horse as Carolina, but a dark horse for a couple of reasons. First, we've seen teams like Denver and Carolina kind of hedge their bets at the quarterback position with placeholders, right? Washington has done nothing at the quarterback position. And I know it's not completely fair to someone like Ryan Fitzpatrick because he's there. But there is no long-term upside or plan here in Washington at the quarterback position. The rest of the offense is ready to go, though. This is a team that is ready to go. The offensive line is in really good shape. They just added Sam Cosmi for some future reinforcements. They have one of the most exciting young running backs in the league in Antonio Gibson. And then, of course, they've restocked their wide receiver group. They've got McLaurin, right? And then they've added Curtis Samuel and Diami Brown now. So I think the fit is really nice to go ahead and insert a veteran quarterback like Rodgers. Not to mention, the NFC East is a total disaster. So now might be Washington's chance to go ahead and shoot to the top of the division with a move like adding someone like Aaron Rodgers. But there are also a couple of reasons. I've laid out reasons why I like this for Washington. There are a few reasons I think that this is a nice fit for the Packers. First, I think you can get Ryan Fitzpatrick back in the trade, which isn't exciting, but would give you a solid, serviceable bridge to Jordan Love, right? You don't feel like your whole 2021 season is mailed in because you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick who can hold things together. But then I think you get those first three first-round picks, as Andy mentioned. And I know Andy mentioned Daron Payne, but I also think Jonathan Allen is an interesting name on this defensive line. I know contract things are a little bit different in those kinds of ways. You could also try to – you could pry one of those defensive linemen away. And then another really interesting name here – I know this is a little bit outside the box – would be rookie linebacker Jamin Davis. Okay, Brian Gutekunst mentioned that Green Bay was interested in adding a linebacker earlier in the draft, but that the board didn't quite break that way. So I'm not saying they were targeting Davis in the first round, but Davis would certainly give them a different kind of linebacker than they've had in a really, really long time. So if you send Rodgers to the Washington football team and you come away with three first-round picks, a defensive lineman, impactful defensive lineman, or a rookie linebacker, and then that bridge quarterback, I think you feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, and honestly, I think what you said, you know, with Fitzpatrick versus, like, you know, Andy's example of Gardner Minshew, I'd almost be tempted to go with Fitzpatrick and just say, all right, we're going to make a push for the playoffs this year, and then we're going to turn things over to Jordan Love after that. And I almost like that better than, you know, Minshew, who I don't really, you know, you're less sure of what his ceiling could be, but you also know that there's a reasonable chance that his floor is somewhere that's going to lead you not to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and Fitzpatrick is, like, perfect because he's been a proven player everywhere he's been. He's been at least what you wanted him to be as a serviceable player, but he's not intimidating in the slightest if your plan is to go to Jordan Love. So there's no drama there. It's like, okay, you're the starter, but it doesn't get in the way of the future. So I like that match a lot.
So the next trade that Andy mentioned was with the Las Vegas Raiders. You have quarterback Derek Carr, two first-round picks, and one third-round pick.
Okay, so the Las Vegas Raiders. This is a super interesting match because of the quarterbacks that are currently on that Raiders roster. Obviously, we've mentioned Derek Carr here, and I really like that he would have chemistry with Davante Adams from their days there at Fresno State, and maybe just a little bit of an ability to smooth things over a bit. I think we're all a little bit worried about the Davante Adams implications of a trade here. But I also think Marcus Mariota is another name that we have to at least mention in this. Obviously, he has the LaFleur connection from when they were in Tennessee together. And so he could be a guy who is another bridge quarterback that would make some sense, that would probably play pretty well. He played pretty well in Oakland when he had an opportunity. So someone who can bridge you to Jordan Love and, again, not be that intimidating presence there either. I know it's probably not possible, but I'm going to add this in here too. Can you imagine if there was a way that the Packers were able to pry Darren Waller away in a trade? I know that's probably a little bit outside the realm of what's possible, but I mean, it could be really interesting.
Well, that would be really fun. I'm sure Mr. Rodgers would not be real happy with the Raiders if they included Darren Waller in that trade package. I just, you know, for me, this particular trade is a little light in the draft compensation, right? Like two first round picks and a third. Really what you're paying for there is getting back the veteran in Derek Carr, who's going to be the band-aid quarterback. And I just, you know, I feel like if you're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, you're sort of admitting next year's not the year. Mm-hmm. So why essentially pay extra to get Derek Carr when you could be getting, you know, better draft compensation from another team? Yeah. So this is probably the most frequently discussed landing spot, and that is the Denver Broncos. So the trade proposal that Andy mentioned, and we'll mention another one as we go through this, but was quarterback Drew Lock, somebody the Packers certainly had their eye on at some point, wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, and three first-round picks. In order to make this happen, Andy thought, you know, the Broncos are giving up Jerry Jeudy, so you have to send back MVS in exchange, and MVS on the last year of his contract, when he's probably going to walk at the end of next year anyways, isn't too bad. So you get the band-aid quarterback with Drew Lock, and maybe he actually turns into something if Love isn't good, or you could flip him for more draft compensation if Love is ready. You get a promising young wide receiver in Jeudy. You get three first-round picks that we anticipate would probably be late in the draft. So, you know, that's at least interesting. We know Rodgers has an injury history, so there is always the potential, no matter which team we're talking about, that the picks could end up being quite a bit better than what we're thinking. But there's also the challenge of, you know, the Broncos play in a division with the Chiefs, the Chargers, and Raiders. So even with Aaron Rodgers, like, there's no gimmies in that division. So it is unreasonable to see a path for them to miss the playoffs maybe one time in those 3 years that you're getting their first-round pick. We've also heard a lot about Patrick Surtain II. And Andy suggested the Packers could at least ask to flip Surtain for Eric Stokes. That would definitely sweeten the deal, in my opinion. Sort of jumping up from Stokes to Surtain. But still, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow. But there was a Twitter rumor, correct?
Yeah, surrounding the Broncos. And I don't know. I want to get into that in just a second here, because I want to talk about, I'm obsessed with tight ends right now. Okay. So I'm looking at the Darren Waller thing with the Raiders. It would be a lot of fun to get Noah Fant back in this scenario. And I know that that's not something Andy threw out, but I know that the contract is a little bit of a problem, but I joked about something else here on Twitter, that Kyle Fuller is out there in Denver now, right? And Goody has been obsessed with Kyle Fuller for years. And this would be the most insane way possible to make that Goody dream come true, right? He's just dodged the Packers in two different scenarios. Not that he didn't want to be a Packer, but would just be totally crazy. Okay, more realistic, coming back to earth. One other name worth watching in this chaos is edge rusher Bradley Chubb. Ben Albright has mentioned Chubb's name several times. I think I've seen him put it out twice when discussing a potential trade and what that might look like for Aaron Rodgers. He would give the Packers crazy depth at edge in 2021 and then a fifth-year option in 2022 if they decided to go ahead and pick that up. But things could get really interesting if the Broncos and Raiders ended up being the biggest suitors for Rodgers. I think this is a really, really interesting piece to this. Imagine knowing that if you lose out on that bidding war, your division now has Mahomes, Rodgers, and Herbert, and you are not one of those teams, right, if you lose out on this. So it's hard to think that you are winning much in the next 5 years if you lose out on Rodgers and he goes to another team in your division, if you are this division. So things could get wild if the Packers get the Raiders and Broncos in that bidding war. But before we move on, today there was a bit of a rumor that came out, and I want to make sure that I get this right because it just did come out. So let's be accurate here. Albert Breer is the one who's speculating, and I guess he talked to a couple execs around the league just to kind of see what they expect the Packers could potentially fetch in a trade. And this is all built then around the Broncos, because they're the team that's most often linked to Aaron Rodgers in a trade. And so he speculates that the Packers could get Drew Lock, Bradley Chubb, there's that name again, guard Dalton Reisner, a 2022 first-round pick, a 2022 second-round pick, a 2023 first-round pick, and a 2024 first-round pick. So this is, you know, this is interesting. I mean, Albert Breer doing his work around the league just to see what does Aaron Rodgers fetch in a trade, obviously then tied to the Broncos, and that's quite a haul. So people are talking about this all across the league, and we're hearing some of the same names stay consistent in the trade too, which is interesting.
Yeah, so one other final fifth option that Andy threw out there, and that was with the Cleveland Browns, and that would be for quarterback Baker Mayfield, safety Grant Delpit, and a third-round pick.
Okay, so interesting. The Browns have said, or it at least has been reported, that they are not interested in Aaron Rodgers and that they're committed to Mayfield and they love his future with the team. But that is exactly what an organization is going to say until the conversation gets serious, right? They can't flirt with another quarterback of Aaron Rodgers, you know, pedigree and ruin their current situation. So don't completely rule out the Browns, but maybe it's just the draft nut in me, but I would really like a little bit more in draft capital in any trade that involves Aaron Rodgers. To me, Mayfield is a good player. He's a young starter, has a good future in the league, but I need a little bit more in the way of some draft picks to make this go.
Yeah, so this was Andy's favorite option of, you know, five, what I would consider less than ideal scenarios. And I do not like Baker Mayfield as a star quarterback. I think he's just going to be a guy who floats around that like 8 to 10 range as far as the best quarterbacks in the league and never really ascends to like superstardom. So for me, that isn't quite good enough in return, but I guess like what is, right?
Right.
So let's throw out some options that we put together. And the first one for me is with the Philadelphia Eagles. Because as you mentioned, the NFC East is pretty wide open. I don't think that's a team that's completely devoid of talent. They have a lot of weaknesses. They certainly had to like release a lot of players that they would have liked to keep. Their offensive line is a little bit shaky. But you get Aaron Rodgers in that situation. They have a lot of playmakers. And I think there's enough of a pass rush on that defense to maybe, you know, make yourselves a contender in the NFC. So what I thought of for a trade package is quarterback Jalen Hurts. That's your Band-Aid quarterback. 2022, you get two first-round picks because Philadelphia has their own, but they also have Miami's. In 2022, also in 2022, you get whatever the pick they're going to get from the Colts for Carson Wentz is. So that could be potentially be a first-round pick. It could be a second-round pick. And then you get the 2023 first-round pick from the Eagles. So potentially, you're going to get an additional three first-round picks next year, and then you're going to get their 2023 first-round pick. Why would the Eagles do this? I don't know. You can talk about it.
No, so this is really interesting because the Eagles would have to figure out how to make the salary cap work with Aaron Rodgers, but they've proven time and time again that they are fine with mortgaging the future for the present there in Philly. And Hurts would be really intriguing to get for the Packers because he might be awesome in the Matt LaFleur offense. I can see that being a really, really nice fit. And so there's at least a chance that you get a starting quarterback and all of that draft capital with the option to then potentially either trade Hurts or Love in a year or so. So really interesting.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is I think this is one of the few scenarios where I really view this as a big win for the Packers. I mean, you're never going to get enough compensation to make up for Aaron Rodgers. It won't happen.
It's not going to happen, yeah.
But I think this is a nice scenario because you're getting three first-round picks potentially, right? Like, I think if I'm remembering correctly, it's relatively easy for Carson Wentz to meet the standards to get that to a first-round pick. But, you know, you're getting those three first-round picks. You're going to have four first-round picks total. The Packers could do whatever they want. But then, in addition, two of those picks have nothing to do with your team or the team you're trading Aaron Rodgers to, right? So you're hurting your own draft compensation by giving them one of the best quarterbacks in league history. Right, you immediately assume that the pick's going to be in the late 20s by doing that. But at least you're getting one or two picks back that could potentially add to that. Or then you start getting zany in your ability to like trade up or trade picks for players and do those sorts of things. So of a bunch of bad options, I like that one the most.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I'm glad you brought up the basically like in finance, like you're diversifying your investment, right? So like if you're not banking on one team being bad to be picking high. So you kind of hope, you know, Miami or, you know, that some of those other teams, Indianapolis has a chance to then be picking a little bit higher than maybe the Eagles would be with Aaron Rodgers. So that's interesting for sure. Okay, so I'm going to toss out something here, which is kind of an annoying scenario. It's been floated and it may be a little bit more ESPN hype as far as like something that they would love to see happen than what can maybe actually be plausible. But it was reported that Russell Wilson was unhappy in Seattle. And I think the contract situation would be really interesting to work through and try to establish the correct value in a trade. But I can see a scenario in which Seattle and Green Bay just kind of look at their situations and shrug and say, okay, like, nobody's happy, and they could swap quarterbacks. I think Aaron Rodgers would be fine playing in the Northwest. I'm not absolutely sure that Russ would be super excited about playing in the small market of Green Bay, but it's not incredibly far from the Chicago market that he was reportedly fine with being traded to just a couple months ago. So, of course, Wilson has the Wisconsin connections as well. That's there. And we know John Schneider and the Packers have a long, long history together. So maybe the Packers could somehow get Dwayne Eskridge thrown in this deal. Andrew and I have a crush on Dwayne Eskridge, so that'd be fine. We'd be okay with that. But clearly, this is something that would be really, really complicated, but would be a trade that would give the Packers and the Seahawks both top-tier quarterbacks without really having to push the reset button in their franchise. So you dodge that bullet. Of course, we'd all spend a fair amount of time throwing up at the sight of Aaron Rodgers in a Seahawk uniform, and I'm not sure how I'd feel about Wilson in Green Bay. But boy, this one would be a ton of fun for the good people at ESPN. They'd be writing all kinds of high drama stories for just months and months leading up to the NFL season if this were to happen.
Yeah, so one final trade I'll throw out there. The aforementioned Miami Dolphins, who might be in a situation where they could kind of push some of the chips to the table that they've had. And this trade package would be centered around quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, which I just butchered his last name. It's funny because I've said it right every other time. The 2022 first-round pick that they have from San Francisco, their own second-round pick next year, and then two 2023 first-round picks because Miami has their own in 2023 plus San Francisco's. So they would probably, I think, in this sense, have to throw in like one of their really good defensive starters. Maybe you could prize Zaven Howard away because I know he's entering the last year in his deal. And there's some risk. You know, he kind of had a career year after not necessarily living up to that potential, you know, the rest of his career. But I thought that was at least kind of an interesting look at a potential trade destination.
Yeah, I love the upside here. We don't know if Tua is good or not yet. I think a lot of people are just trying to already assume that Tua is not going to pan out. And it's a really, really, I guess if you get Justin Herbert as a comparison, I mean, the guy lit the league on fire as a rookie. And so you look over and you think Tua must just not going to be someone who develops into a quality starter. But we don't know that yet. And so, but honestly, if he's bad and you get him in this deal, who cares? You have four first-round picks and a really solid backup in Tua. If he's good, you have Jordan Love you could trade, plus you have the three first-round picks in the next two drafts, which is totally insane. So also, just let's go all the way crazy, doomsday situation. Say Tua and Love are both really bad. You have massive draft capital to go up and trade for a new quarterback in one of those next two classes. So you kind of feel pretty secure even in a worst case scenarios here. So I'm not totally upset about that.
So those are our trade scenarios. But I am going to say for the third time this show, we do not want Aaron Rodgers to be traded. But people are definitely still going to complain about this show regardless. So to me, trading him after 2021, whether he plays or not, is actually the right way to go in this scenario, because then you know what the draft picks you're going to get in 2022. For instance, right, this is a little bit of revisionist history, but if the Packers were able to get three first-round picks from the Jets this year, that would be way better than any of the draft packages that we've talked about earlier. Why? Well, simply they could have turned pick two into another at least three first-round picks for some team to trade up for Zach Wilson. Now, you're talking about getting a player in pick, you know, maybe the 10 to 15 range, and then having absolutely ludicrous draft compensation for the next several years. Trading Rodgers before the season basically ensures the picks you get back are in the 20s or 30s. And remember, like, 15 seconds ago when I said if he plays or not? First, I don't really see a way Rodgers sits out a season. Like, that just doesn't seem to be his style. You know, grudge or not, like, that dude's ultra competitive. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't lose value to a team trading for him, even if he did sit out the entire 2021 season. If anything, I think you actually gain suitors for him, because history tells us a few teams we will realize their young quarterback isn't going to work out during this year, and then they become players in the market. So, you know, for me, it's like you call his bluff. And if Aaron Rodgers really is in this position where he's like, I'm just absolutely never going to play for this franchise again, then you hold on to him for a year and then you trade him next offseason. But that's just me.
That's a really interesting perspective, and one that I hope we don't have to live, right? This is not what we were hoping for. Again, let's say we don't want this to happen. But my goodness, like, I think you're absolutely correct. That's very interesting that teams like the Carolina Panthers, who right now have a plan at quarterback, may not have a plan at quarterback next year. The Dolphins may know if Tua is good or not next year. Like, some of these teams that may not be willing to pay up may very well be willing to do that next year. And so that's really interesting. You're right. The draft capital is probably a little bit later if you trade them right now. So very interesting scenario. that you're looking at, and maybe a reason why the Packers could fetch more first round picks in a deal, assuming that, like, hey, your picks are going to be later and those kinds of things. So we'll see how all this pans out. Again, saying it one more time, we do not want to see Rodgers leave Green Bay, but if he does, you've now heard just about every wild scenario that could possibly happen over the next couple months. Remember, there really is no historical precedent for a trade of this magnitude. So it is hard to imagine where this goes. It's hard to imagine what it looks like. But if it does happen, it's going to be big. It's going to break the internet. It's going to break ESPN. It's going to have ripple effects for years and years. So make sure you stay connected to the Packaday podcast, and we will help you wrestle with all of your emotions, no matter what those emotions happen to be over the course of the next couple of months. We're with you in this. We're excited to see where it goes. And we're optimistic that maybe things will end in a way that's good for the Green Bay Packers and good for Aaron Rodgers.
Well said, Kyle. But that is all the time that we have for today. This has been the Packaday Podcast. You can find Kyle on Twitter at @Packer_pundit. Remember to leave all your negative feedback about the show to @Packer_pundit. And you can find me at Andrew Mertig. Remember to also follow at Packaday Podcast. Please subscribe and rate the podcast if you like what you're doing. Just a friendly reminder, if you were thinking about rating and you waited till the end of the show, this is your reminder. You can catch Kyle and myself every Friday. We're going to be back next week with more off-season coverage. And in the coming weeks, I think we're going to have some pretty exciting guests. So make sure you tune in for that. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember.